And welcome to another episode of the Dicey Duo with
Kyle
and Rain. All right. Hello, everybody. Kai, how are you? I haven't seen you since yesterday, but we kind of like didn't record at all last week.
Yeah, we were going to record earlier. We usually...
Do it on
Thursdays. Usually record, yes. Yeah. Today is a Sunday. Today is Easter Sunday.
420.
It is also 420, which was really funny. My friends were like,
"It's so
yo,
funny.
You celebrating?" I was like, "Hey, I already did, technically."
Jesus is risen.
Nice. Yeah, my mother's very Christian, so Easter used to be big, but I'm not, and so I don't care.
Same. Not that I don't care, but my mom is a big Christian.
Right. I mean, so glad he rose.
I'm so glad he rose.
So glad he rose, you know?
Yeah.
He has risen.
I like that he took 3 days to rise as well.
Dramatic effect. Talk about it.
Yeah.
Three seconds of pause before between a joke.
Mm-hmm.
3 days before you come back.
333, the angelic number.
Yeah. Do we know what that one correlates to?
Because
don't they have a little bit more like specifics?
So the meaning of
333. Like 666 is both an angel number, yeah.
But it's also correlated to something.
Like, right, in Christianity. If we're talking Christianity, it's got a little devil. It's the mark of the beast, of the beast. I forget what it is. Mark of the beast, I believe.
333 angelic number means sign of divine guidance, encouragement, and the presence of your spirit guides.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'll look out for that.
Suggesting that you're on the right path. You must trust your intuition and creativity.
Great. I could definitely use some triple threes in my life.
Same.
My week, to answer your question, week over week. I got a new job.
Awesome.
So I'll be serving in the Waikikis here on the island. And that'll be interesting. I've never served before, but I've pretty much done it.
Yeah.
Because when you work in a restaurant, you help out where you can.
Yep.
And I started as a host, which then graduated. Funny enough, I was a host first.
Mm-hmm.
When I started working at a restaurant, my first job was Subway. Then I got Chili's.
Nice.
And I started as a host. Then the guy who would pack away all of the frozen and just produce, like the food that came via truck into the freezer, which involved you coming in at about 8 a.m. With all the prep people and, you know, wearing some jeans, shoes, and a jacket because you're in the freezer. And I got through lots of podcasting through there. Finally, food running became like a position. Like it got busier enough that they were like, okay, we need to make food runners a position. So then I finally got that. Then graduated to what I guess we called QA.
Okay. Quality Expo. Insurance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
some call Expo. Places called Expo, but you're the middle, you're the throat, because the head of the restaurant is the servers and the host and the manager who you see, and then the heart of the restaurant or I guess maybe it's face and heart, but it's head and heart. I think the heart is obviously the cooks and the dishwasher.
The QA
is kind of the throat. He's in between where he makes sure the food looks nice on the plate before it gets to you.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Is that what they teach you? Restaurant school? I don't know.
I learned it on the fly.
Oh, wow. I was thinking more of the head and the heart.
I wonder where I learned that exactly. I feel like I did some sort of restaurant classes.
Yeah. Oh, okay, okay.
Or during the food safety classes, which mm-hmm. is required to handle food, I think.
Yeah.
Brain fart. what was I saying? Jesus Christ, the words.
Head and heart, face and
throat. Oh yeah, they teach you that shit. They just teach you that shit, man. That's, I think they teach you that shit because they
fun words to analogize damn. Those things.
Yeah, learned that in Chili's.
Started another
stopped
job.
There yeah. at QA.
Yeah.
And food running. So I've never served, but you know, food running is pretty much doing the work for the server besides talking to the person.
Yeah, and taking the orders and stuff.
But if you arrive with the food, they ask you for stuff. So you go back for ranch and yada yada. So if all I got to do is talk to people and say, what do you want first? That's pretty, I've already I've done 80% of the job. Yeah. Maybe 70%. I won't take their 30% of talking and socializing. It's what gets them their tips. Maybe 40. You know what? I'll be generous. 60% of their job I've done.
Nice.
So I was social awkward then. Not so much now that I've run many public D&D games and am the dungeon master. So to use that riz. How was your week?
Busy. Had people come in on Tuesday and fix my air conditioning unit at the house I'm living in. And
I'm surprised you didn't just wait to get the heck out.
It's been hot.
Is it
hot.
Like a safety deposit thing?
No,
also?
It's just it's been hot lately and we wanted to use the AC and it's just hasn't been working. And so we just brought it up to the renter or the owner and they're like, okay, we'll fix it. And apparently, two geckos decided to go
inside
the
die?
Unit and die and get fried on the motherboard.
Oh.
Yeah, and the company Fujitsu covers geckos. Gecko death.
That's nice.
Yeah, so the only thing that they had to pay for was about the labor. And not like all the motherboard and replacement and part replacements and stuff. So it was really funny.
Gecko insurance.
Literally,
gecko insurance. Love that.
Literally, gecko insurance.
You know,
so.
Thank you. What are they called?
What? Oh, Fujitsu. Company?
Fujitsu. Thank you, Fujitsu.
Yeah, Mitsubishi doesn't cover that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
Oh, my God. But pretty busy working. I'm kind of like, I want to leave my work so I can.
Yeah, are you like, you're still working?
Job, or full time.
Full-time school time?
Mm-hmm. Full-time school
Full-time
time.
School time. And then, but they still have you, like, kind of doing stuff.
Yeah.
Even though those contracts were ending?
Yeah, contracts are still ending. So.
Right. But are you, okay.
But, like, mentally, I'm gone.
Right. Mentally checked out. You're also, if I remember last week, you said you were, like, training people.
Yep. I was training people.
Your replacements.
And I'm still, you know, in the active training
loop.
Time frame right now with them, but they're learning quickly.
Good.
Having to micromanage, I guess. Not too much.
I mean,
but with
supervising
with some things,
is easy.
Yeah, supervising is very easy. I don't have to do a lot.
If you
anymore.
Just realize, once you realize you don't have to do much and you just have to critique people, it's pretty easy. Just
I love
be observant.
Critiquing.
I mean, I don't know. I'm an observant person, so, and critique the shit out of lots of things. So
I got a new tattoo.
Yeah, it's great.
Thank you.
We talked about it in that little Taliesin moment a few episodes, two episodes. I don't know.
Last episode. Yeah,
last episode,
you made fun of me.
Wow, but we'll talk about the turnaround on that tattoo. I was really not, from my experience in people getting tattoos, it is not a fast turnaround.
I already knew what I wanted.
You made it.
I drew it, yeah.
You made it, and you just sent it. You just needed someone with a steady hand, really.
Yeah, essentially. And they're like, this is the easy tattoo that I had to do. It was beautiful. And when I
was this your first time
it,
meeting this tattooist?
Yes. Yeah. I was shopping around, like I said last time.
Right.
I like shopping around different artists and stuff. But when we put final pen to paper on my body, I cried because it was just like exactly what I drew. And it's exactly...
It's everything
I've ever wanted.
And it's like, I'd assume since you dabble in drawing, and like tattooists are supposed to be pretty decent at at least line work.
Yeah,
I'd assume it was refined a little bit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%.
Okay. You know, because yours was beautiful. It just also looked like it came from your iPad.
Oh yeah.
When, in terms of line work, unless you're zooming in real.
No.
Deep.
Yeah.
You
know. So
I'm assuming you didn't zoom in too far.
Yeah. It was really pretty when he first put it on, and we did just the black outline.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, oh wow. And then when we finally got the colors, we were debating on like colors and stuff, because like. Yeah,
Did you color it initially?
I did color it initially.
Right, I remember some purple and some green.
Yeah, not green. It's actually, there's a lot of purple. There's a, you know, Caduceus clay.
Orange. Is there orange?
There's red.
Okay.
So very close.
They're
brother related. Colors.
Related. I usually like to think of red and yellow as the mother and father because they combine into orange.
Yeah. Their primary colors.
So
primary colors make other
yellow colors. Mother, red father, baby orange. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, so we have like Caduceus clay, his like pink. Their pink hair.
Wonderful. So right? Like a lavender?
No, I think it's more, I don't know what to describe.
It's like a hot lavender.
It's like a hot pink.
It's pink. Yeah, yeah. I mean isn't lavender pink purple?
No.
Pink purple?
Lavender's more of like pale purple.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So it's a pink. Yeah, I mean, he has pink hair. It's like a light, it's a pale pink.
Yeah.
It's a pale pink. Yours from this angle does not look like a pale pink, but at least, I mean, for your skin tone.
We needed it to be.
Yeah, you can't really
darker.
Do pale pink. You got
to
do.
I have to do like the darker colors.
Yeah, so pink. But it's in a we all know what the heck it represents. Also, even if it's like kind of pink or magenta, it's Molly Maka's. His coat was very deep purple.
That's what I got on the snakes. So the snake has like a lot of like Molly Maka's purples and Molly Maka's like
reds,
yellows and reds.
Red, nice.
Yeah, I put a little pink in there still.
What other? Are we forgetting any of the colors?
No.
Black,
there's
nice
yellow
black outline
for the sun, and then the moon is a nice twilight color. It's just the coloring just is exactly
sick
what I had, you know, chosen as well.
Nice.
In coloring my picture. So.
Very nice. Well, I'm so glad. It looks great.
Thank you.
Looks like it's, I mean, you got it 2 days ago?
Got it yesterday.
Yesterday,
after,
I was going to say.
After session.
That's, right. Look, I mean, I wouldn't say it's I don't know if it's healing well. I feel like we can't tell yet because it's only been a day.
Yeah, it's only been a day.
Crazy.
It looks great. It
looks nice.
Yeah. That's all I really did. And we played D&D yesterday, so that was really fun.
We did. We didn't succeed. Did we succeed? What the heck
we
happened?
We succeeded on stealing the Shroud Stone.
Right.
But
that's what we did. And then
the freaking guy Lapis.
Oh, that's what. Are we a rolling initiative at the start of next session?
I'm pretty sure we are.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure we are just because.
Son of a bitch.
We were running.
Honestly, forgot about Lapis.
Honestly, I just really wanted to go home. I was
I'm so over it. This place has not been nice. It hasn't made any sense. Unfortunately. Sorry, James, if you're listening. Love you. It's really thrown Griffo. And then
it's just a mini campaign it's a side
quest. Oh, right. He did, you know what? I did gain more appreciation for it when I learned that it was an inspiration of a homebrew campaign thing on Reddit or online or something where
everything goes wrong.
So every module has a big bad.
Yeah.
And that big bad has a plan. So this is all of those plans happen.
Exactly.
So I don't know all of them, but it's like, I mean, Curse of Strahd's ending wouldn't affect anything else. I don't know what Tyranny of Dragons, which is the Tiamat one, I'd assume it's the release of Tiamat.
Have you ever read
Vecna taken over
any fan fiction?
Fan fiction? Unfortunately, no. I've maybe read like lines.
Okay.
So but never like all the way through.
There's a really famous fan fiction about Harry Potter. And Manacled.
It's called what?
Manacled.
What?
Manacled.
Oh.
Yeah, like a manacle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I got it. I just ADHD brain did not. Anacold.
Manacled.
What? Yeah, I know. I got it by the third one, but I heard anacold. Sorry. And, manacles, yes.
Yeah, and it talks about how what the future would be like if Voldemort had won the war and Harry Potter died.
I thought it was
going
to be a sexy thing. This is a what if. Yeah. I guess fun fiction started off as that. It's not all horny.
It's still horny.
Oh, it is?
But it's like it has sustenance.
It has like lore sustenance. Okay, that's good.
It's really great.
That's very
It's a good it's read.
It's very interesting. I would
is like Handmaid's Tale.
That'd be an interesting D&D role or a role sorry to not D&D TTRPG
mm-hmm.
like set thing to do, you know.
Yeah.
Cuz that's not really done. There's no like official what if moments of like Voldemort won.
What do we do
we
now?
We live in wizard Nazis.
Yeah. Wizard know? Nazis.
I would almost think of it as wizards of Wizardly Place. No.
Wow, your brain is everywhere.
Wizards of the Wizarding World mixed with... Did you ever know the game... Oh, goodness. It's a Nazi game where the Nazis took over. Made by Bethesda.
I don't know.
Wolfenstein?
No, I never played it.
Okay. Well, it's an older game. I think do you remember ever watching something that was like Doom but wasn't Doom and you shot Nazis? The old kind.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And you can shoot Hitler.
Yeah.
So that, I believe, is like the first ever Wolfenstein.
Oh.
And Wolfenstein and Doom are the same creators, I believe, Bethesda. Or like, you know, have the same thing. So Wolfenstein is just, you killing any situation where you're killing Nazis.
Yeah.
The more recent ones was like a what if scenario where they won and they take over.
Yeah.
You know, they're making Ku Klux Klan members learn German.
Whoa, what the hell?
There's like funny like YouTube videos about it where there's like German Reich stormtroopers interrogating two Ku Klux Klan members about learning German.
What?
With their like southern ass accents, but the German soldier's German. He's got a deep German accent, but I'm pretty sure they're in America. So it's a very what if scenario, and it goes pretty deep. It's like several, maybe like two sequels deep in like you fighting them off. So wizard Nazis, I'd assume, you know, Voldemort would take over, make a big show of it.
Yep.
In the main world.
Yep.
And then
it
would just be like New York. Or any populace would. This is something I always. Okay, we're gonna tangent into this before we jump into roles for encounters, but just from my brain. In theory, there's not that many wizards compared to human muggles, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're outnumbered.
Yes.
Okay. So they're not gonna take over and make everyone else go away.
No.
They're just gonna put themselves on top. So
the Wizarding World, not in
they're going to rule the Wizarding World entirely. So then they're going to make themselves known in the Muggle world.
Correct.
And they're going to jump on top of that. So like all the penthouses and crazy spots that all the people of power currently in our real world live in New York and Hong Kong and those Moscow, those spaces of power. They would just be on top, you know. They would rule America. They would probably assign all these countries. Who knows if Voldemort would just, like, get rid of... Yeah, we won't debate if he would just get rid of, like, countries and borders and take over. But
I'm pretty sure that every country has its own wizarding school.
Do you think if Voldemort won, it would go into, like, Wizard World War? There's other areas of the world with wizards, man.
Yeah. So have you ever seen or read the book Handmaid's Tale?
No.
No.
But I've heard of it.
Yeah. So it's essentially what the fan fiction artist or author did was overlay what if Voldemort won and then the Handmaid's Tale concept.
Okay. And it's pretty close. Together.
And Handmaid's Tale is about, you know, what if... Every, you know, right-wing GOP, you know, person who believes in, you know, the
That's a hard way to describe what The Handmaiden's Tale is actually about, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, kind of like they were essentially losing birth decreases. So not a lot of people were having babies. So everybody was like, everybody who were like going to abortion clinics, were going to fake abortion clinics. And then they were like kind of like coercing them to actually have the baby and like making them feel bad about it.
Totally.
Because like,
birth rates are low.
Yeah. Because birth rates are low.
Gotcha.
And so what happens is that the like the right winged blah, 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 you know, people who believed in, you know, what is it? Pro-life. There it is.
Sure. Sure.
Pro-lifers essentially mm-hmm. took over and, did a martial law
takeover, yeah,
of the United States, closed gotcha. Its borders, closed its borders fully, and forced all the women who had like were essentially pro-choicers and all the people who
into
you know
handmaidens.
Believed in human rights,
right?
You know, either turned killed them into... or turned them to like sex slaves,
right.
And all
maidens.
These, or like you know the help. And stuff like that.
Right.
So, and, yeah.
Wow. Well, it's look like we're heading there. Anyway.
Wow.
Wow. Crazy. All right.
That's crazy.
Crazy. Fun thought.
I don't know how we got there.
It was me.
Happy birthday.
I was asking about Voldemort. But, right.
Now for today's roll for encounter, Kai, you're rolling first.
Nice. It popped out. 13.
13. Oh.
Cord and tell.
Cord and tell.
Okay.
Yay. Okay.
Yes.
What is something in
D&D,
any
right.
of your games? Any
so
of your
Horde
games
and tell,
that you play?
Yeah, let's. I mean, this is the first Horde and Tell. So Horde and Tell is going to be about us gushing about a magical item we learned about or something we got in game mm-hmm. or a sick combo
or just
you know.
Like doing
sure I mean it's
but like with the item like doing
yeah
with
yeah,
the
yeah,
item.
Yeah, yeah, yeah 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 things we've done with
an
item
things.
Yes yeah, yeah, yeah.
Two,
things we've
yeah.
done it's Horde related fun okay I'll talk about this combo so back in the day in a one shot ran by an ex of yours I fought level 20 Tarrasques, or not level 20 Tarrasques. I was level 20. It was mm-hmm. a level 21 shot, and we fought Tarrasques. And so I was able to pick. I wanted to be a barbarian, and I wanted to be a, or I think I settled on Goliath. It just made sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I made a Goliath barbarian, Path of the Giant, and when you're max level or like 18th level or 17th level, whichever is like the max subclass feature, when you rage you go all the way to huge.
Oh,
which I believe is yes yeah it's medium
large
huge.
So
gigantic? 15 feet
I'm
just kidding. Yeah
or
gigantic close gargantuan
okay.
Another G word. Almost maybe the same word. I don't know. Not I guess they're not the same word.
gargantuan.
Gargantuan,
gigantic.
They're close. They're yeah. like cousins. so mix that with a potion of growth, which has the effect of enlarge.
Oh my gosh.
Which doubles your physical attributes by twice.
Yeah.
So whatever your height was, it doubles that. Then there's a magical item
yeah.
called the Cape of Enlargement, which does the same thing, but they stack because they're not technically the same thing.
Oh my.
So with just the with the barbarian subclass, a potion and this cape, I was able to be the size of the Tarrasque.
Oh my god.
And I 1v1'd the well, I didn't 1v1 him. There were other people there fighting. But I was the main distraction for this big Tarrasque, as
yeah,
I was 60
you were,
foot tall
yeah, you were
Goliath barbarian. Fun stuff.
Fucking crazy.
We won that fight. It was easy. But that was a fun combo I did. And it's coming around again because in my Friday game, I was able to sort of resurrect a campaign of mine with some friends.
Companion? Or a campaign?
A campaign.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, campaign.
Sorry, when you said resurrect.
Yeah, yeah, it was then, like the full campaign. Like, oh, I, like a people, full campaign. Okay, people okay, pulled, not it. People pulled out, but there were falling outs between people. Like, it wasn't this, it wasn't going to be the same party. We had, there was ways to write it, like, we had left off on a cliffhanger of, like, we had accomplished the main goal, mm-hmm. and then something new, like the next thread, had presented itself very immediately, which was also the death of our patrons.
Oh, wow.
Of our patron. We were working for somebody. And so it was like, we just finished. We're coming back. What's up, dude? Oh, you're dead. Crazy. So that campaign could have continued and we would have stayed the same party. It didn't. People fell through. Other people disappeared. Whatever. The campaign died.
Yeah.
So I didn't want it to die because the character I was playing, known as Spark, is one of my favorites. He's a little kobold armorer artificer. Wow. And he's like Bruce Banner in the Hulkbuster. A little guy in a big suit of armor that helps him be bigger. And so this was also the campaign where I through very elaborate means had my own red dragon.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like homie named Emberwind.
Yeah.
Who was like my sidekick. Like he was a sidekick stats. Like he was a warrior sidekick.
Wow.
And very OP. And so I love this campaign. But the backstory for Spark, specifically this character, is that he was part of a classic sort of cobalt group clan in, you know, deep caves, volcanic caves. And then one day this fat, lazy red dragon swooped in and obviously took over. And no one in his clan did anything about it. I mean, not that they could necessarily, but it wasn't that they didn't do anything about it. They didn't even care. And so he grew very impatient. And one day, and another artificer, he wasn't an artificer in his backstory. So before he became an artificer, he saw an adventurer come in with this magical suit of armor that he seemingly made and fight Grumthar to no avail. And get deaded, bro. But Spark was able to get the manual, the almanac, the journal of this artificer, see Spark being an 18 intelligence cobalt to begin with, was interested and was able to scrap together scraps from the horde of this red dragon he was subservient to and bail and become a full-blown artificer with his armor suit.
Wow.
And so since then he's been able to get to a space. There's a new model in the new update for artificers in 2024. They added a new version. The armorer artificer can make two versions of armor initially. One of them was called Defender, mm-hmm. and one of them was called Infiltrator. And so Defender, big bulky full plate suit of armor,
mm-hmm.
That has built-in mechanics that make it so people focus on you, like it has built-in punch thunder gauntlets, and when you punch an enemy you mark them with a status that if they attack anyone else, they have disadvantage. So it makes you the target. So okay. I made this character to be a tank and mainly be in Defender, but you can also go into Infiltrator and be a little stealthy and have like a shoulder lightning launcher, which is cool. I've done it once. It was interesting. It wasn't my favorite. They added one called Juggernaut, which has a mode where you go large.
Okay.
So that means I can go into like a 15-foot suit of armor.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to go, hey, DM, we are like in what would be considered a planescape campaign. So we're plane hopping a lot. So we go to Sigil, where everything and anything can kind of be purchased. And so I'm able to get this character, Spark, the Cape of Enlargement.
Oh my.
I did that, and then Potions of Growth are not that crazy, and so I was able to get that as well. And as an artificer, I can cast Enlarge on myself.
Ah.
So, with a potion, the cape, and the spell, my armor, mm-hmm. I can go and be as big as my barbarian, but I don't need to do that. I am currently on a quest, or we are finally going to go fight Grumthar next week. This coming Friday, I will most likely enter the lair of Grumthar, and my plan will happen.
The fact that you thought about, you know, hey, I'm going to do this twice.
Yeah, well, it was like, it came from a moment in the campaign where, so I said I had Emberwind. Emberwind, due to player choices, really, was taken away from me.
Okay.
The DM decided that our patron, a ancient brass dragon, needed a successor.
Okay.
And so he chose. So it's a great. It's a great honor for my for my little sidekick to be chosen as the successor for the thing I work for, the Golden Vault.
But he was my buddy.
I was going to go and fight Grumthar with him, and then the horde of Grumthar would then become Emberwinds, and they like need that to get more powerful. Like, they can't even reach ancient status without a horde. And so, like, that was my plan. But now he's about to become like a CEO of a crazy the Golden Vault.
I love it.
So, I mean, he's going to get there in his own way, just not without me. CEO, or without me, unfortunately.
CEO, baby.
CEO. Yeah. Leader of the Golden Vault. Pretty dope. But that leaves Spark all alone. And so
he needed to get bigger.
Yeah. He wants to punch Grumthar. He wants to be as big as Grumthar. That's so, like, it's always been a size complex with him to start, because he's an armorer, artificer, and he gets into a suit of plate mail, plate armor, that gives him 3 feet, and he's 3 foot. So he gets to be 6 foot.
Wow.
In Juggernaut, now that they've added like a full big thing, I've added an extra foot. So in his three versions
of
an infiltrator, he gets 1 foot of height, so he's 4 feet, so he's like, you know, stealthy. In defender, he's 6 foot, and now in juggernaut, he's 7 foot. But like I said, the juggernaut can go huge or it can go large, so I go up to 14 feet tall, which is bordering huge.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so I want to go huge because I'm going to fight Grumthar, and I want to fight Grumthar at the same size. And he's an adult, so he will be huge. He's up there
Grumthar.
Yeah, that's a regular-looking red dragon, but that's the mini we'll be using. But he's, like, in theory, he's, like, a fat red dragon, kind of like from the D&D movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Thumber Chowd or whatever that dude's name is.
Yeah. Dude, I love that fucking movie.
It was pretty freaking sick. But yeah, that's my hoard and tell. I'm going to use a cape of enlargement for the second time to get real big and fight real big things. So yeah.
Yeah.
Your turn.
Awesome. To roll or just to talk about hoarding?
If you want to talk about a hoard thing, go for it. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, sure. Go for it. I don't see. Yeah. Wait. Do we? Yeah. We always go back and forth.
Yeah. I think we always go
back and forth. Yeah. Go for it. If you've got one on your mind.
I think.
Are you trying to talk about this?
No, I'm not. Okay. chill. I was thinking about the endless flask you gave me when I used to play in your Wednesday group. So,
For
Yara.
What alcohol?
So she was trying to, you know, she was trying to not be too much of an alcoholic. So she changed from whiskey to margaritas.
Right, I remember that. It was like you went from wanting to be right.
I wanted to be drunk all the time.
You were drunk all the time.
So okay, so Yara, I made this pretty sick college of Whispers bard, and she was gonna be like this total secret agent bard.
Secret
agent bard. And you know, she was a gambler, kind of like an urchin. Her dad, quote unquote, her adoptive dad was a barkeep.
Yeah, you're kind of a street. You're an urchin.
I'm an urchin.
You said a street rat.
Yeah, and
daughter of the bar owner.
Yeah, and when he died, I created such a great backstory for her. When he died, I left the secret, you know, kind of like CIA almost for my village. And I went on a vengeance quest to find the killer or the killers of my dad. And I also fell into bad habits of gambling and alcoholism.
Uh-huh.
And that's how you introduced me. I got booted into another freaking like dimension.
I think I got dimension doored or something. So what if I remember?
I got
not dimension doored. You just got kind of.
I just kind of just booted into another.
Yeah, you got like gated, if we're being specific. Yeah, gated, like, yeah. Not. Ugh, God, gate is such a crazy spell to just boo you. But, you know, magically, you were booted.
Yeah, from a poker game.
You know what? Yeah, we'll even say. Because, so initially, yeah, that was your character, but you were showing up on a day where they were like subterranean. Not only that, they were in a spaceship, in a colossal spelljammer.
Yeah,
like super spacey. And so I just needed a way to get you there. They were in the middle of like fighting and all kinds of stuff. So
it
didn't make any sense.
No,
but as DM, you make things make sense.
It actually makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense once I gave you context as to why you just randomly appeared.
Yeah.
Which was due to your gambling. And
alcoholism.
And alcoholism. You were, well, due to your gambling specifically. Oh, yeah. And your alcoholism maybe making you annoying or whatever, were booted from a game of chance by a powerful creature like a devil that you either swindled or tried to swindle, probably. Were
knowing Yara's
simply
luck,
exiled.
Yeah,
from
knowing
the bar.
Yara's luck, it was a failed swindling, and so anyway, I was needing I was needing alcohol, and the fucking Underdark didn't have what I needed, and you know, I every like person we encountered or village we went to in the Underdark, I was like, "Where's the alcohol?
Yeah,
I need alcohol right now." And
it became a trope.
It did. It definitely did, and it became a goal of mine, like character wise. I made it a goal to try to get a magical endless flask.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was my favorite.
Was it created?
It wasn't created. It was actually
a loot pool thing.
I forget who we went to Scaledale.
Oh,
and
good old Scaledale.
Yeah. Oh, good old Scaledale.
Good old Scaledale.
And
don't regret that name.
It was like an older kind of like, I think, cleric or whatever, and
Yes.
Yeah, and I was just annoying about it because I was just
I think his name was Valis.
Yeah, there you go, Valis, and I just kept annoying him. I was like,
he was a
what rewards are you gonna get me now, darling?
God,
you know,
I really need
my alcohol. That's the only payment I want. And then
I think he gave me his. Yeah, he gave you his because he's like a holy man and like
had to obviously reform himself.
So he still had it, just didn't use it. And then you were like,
I was so
where's
adamant.
The fucking booze?
Yeah.
And he's like, okay,
he's
looks like you're still working through this.
Yeah.
Here's just maybe don't make, if you're not searching for booze, it's better. So here's just infinite booze.
I was like, thank
don't
God.
Don't make it
anyone else's
problem as much as possible. And, but yeah, thank you for also saving my town from centipedes.
Exactly. And, when Yara,
oh my god, the development we got through with Yara
oh my god
in such little time with Jerry,
yeah, It was great.
We've kind of cured, not cured her alcoholism, but like, no. Rather than AA, we've just like
dumped her down to a cocktail instead of like, yeah, because of a love of a good bugbear.
Yes.
Disciple.
Named Jerry.
Named Jerry.
Disciple.
A bugbear disciple named Jerry.
Were they called disciples?
They Jesus were all
12 disciples. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. And because of the love of Jerry, my love, my bugbear, Yara went from straight liquor to cocktails to keep her less, I don't know, inebriated.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said, like, hey, if you're going to be this drunk, we're going to have to talk. I'm like, Jerry, don't leave me.
So. No, he, as the DM who played Jerry, I mean, I didn't make up backstory for him.
No.
But to me, kind of, yeah. Jerry.
Actually, you did. I have notes.
To me, Jerry, I don't, okay, that we should look into the, we should look into Jerry, what you have on Jerry. But yeah. To me, from what I remember, all of, like, similar to the disciples of Jesus, each of the disciples of Tarvin were doing something bad.
Yeah.
Respectively. And Tarvin didn't even necessarily stop them. He kind of stopped the situation that they were involved with, usually.
Yeah.
And would give them such a look of parental disappointment.
Yeah. Like, shit, I didn't. But also this,
like,
again.
Neutrality of, like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And me doing this isn't at all correlated to you.
Yeah.
And so they each respect that and see that in him and follow him for that. And so Jerry.
Jerry was a pirate. I just remembered right now.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So yeah. He was, I think most of them were bandits and pirates and stuff like that.
It was great. If I ever get to play Yara again, I hope Jerry is a part of that.
No, Jerry, of course, will be. Yeah.
Yeah. How did Yara's story end, essentially, when I left the campaign?
Yara, basically, they, like, finished up some...
The freaking some elephant stuff thing?
With the elephants, Jesus. And the snakes.
Yeah.
And I kind of they went in.
I was kind of disappointed because, like, I really wanted to avenge my dad's death, but then it turned into let's chase these elephant tracks.
Yeah. And poop. No one else would really fought him. So, yeah. But I mean, he is a D&D player who wants to play D&D, and so when you play D&D, you really only focus on your thing. In maybe a respectful way of, like, not treading on other people's things, but can be a bit spotlight hoggy. Yeah.
Yeah. I try not to do that.
Your father is still there to be avenged.
Oh, so Yara and Jerry just went off.
Yeah, so you just kind of left. So funny enough, where you were like, yeah, we kind of just pivoted to this, like, whole thing. Yara just was like, shit to do.
Yeah, I gotta avenge. Me and Jerry are going
to deal with my father.
Yeah.
So that's where Yara's left off. She's off with Jerry.
Yeah.
A little less drunk.
Yeah.
And off to figure out what the fuck happened to her dad.
Silas, by the way. His name was Silas.
Briarwood. No.
No!
Cool. All right.
Are you? Yeah, rolling for encounter. Wonderful.
Yes.
Hey, 14.
Shit. Okay, that's fine.
I just need to
prepare my brain. It's fine.
Okay. So while he prepares his brain, we are going to do Campaign Chronicles. So a couple episodes ago, we created all together my DBZ, Dragon Ball Z character.
Yes. That I also, to correction, last week, we either rolled the wrong,
we rolled
Campaign Chronicles and I did DM Diaries thinking it was DM Diaries. Yeah. So for correctional purposes, this is Campion Chronicles.
Yes. And what we're going to do now is we're going to take the character that we created on Character Corner and place her into a campaign.
Mm-hmm. Well, her campaign. We're going to do sort of like an origin mm-hmm. story today.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of like a
loosey goosey,
like set the scene essentially for.
I think we mainly are going to talk about Alistaria. We're going to talk about where she comes from, yep. who surrounds her, yep. what brought about her powers, if they were there to begin with.
She's a sorcerer student, I know that, and just has been
sorceress,
so,
yes.
Yeah, sorceress student. And
why do you want to put student?
Why not? Like, she was, and she's just very,
She was?
She what do you was.
Mean? Okay, well, she here not- we go. What do you mean? So this is great. What are we talking about? What do you mean she was?
Oh, yeah. How I kind of, like,
envision her
is that she was very,
innately good
by the book sorceress, but just couldn't get a grasp of the entirety of her power.
Okay, gotcha. Well, okay, yeah. So it's very interesting because if you watched Witcher,
yeah,
on Netflix,
yeah,
so you know how Ciri's kind of working through her powers,
yeah.
That's what the learning of powers for sorceress is kind of like, yeah. Because it's not book smarts,
no.
On learning the runes,
it's just more like by, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully, you know, in terms of Witcher, the witches and Ciri do use words to focus it, which sorcerers also have to do. They have to use
mm-hmm.
words and mannerisms of their hand, somatic, verbal components. But it's less about knowing the words and the stuff. It can kind of come out innately.
Yeah,
literally. Sorcerers can, at least mechanically, they can bend the spell to not require those.
An incantation or like anything.
It's called subtle spell, uh-huh. And it means it allows you not to have to do verbal or somatic components mm-hmm. when you cast spell. So you remember how, were you there when James was like, casting a spell like is loud?
Yeah.
So that fully circumvents it. And if we do a new campaign, I'm playing a sorcerer and I'm subtle spelling this fucker every time. Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. So by the book, meaning like, okay, so I would
just
she's a rule follower, sorcery just doesn't have any rules,
yeah,
to follow,
yeah, and that doesn't make sense to
it doesn't
her.
Make any sense
doesn't
to
make
her.
Any sense to her.
Yes, she needs to kind of make up her own rules,
yeah, and that doesn't make any sense to her, which, you know, before I kind of that kind of resonates within me, because when I was younger I was like, I need to follow the rules. It's like, well, the rules are subjective. It's like, no,
for sure. I'm a big rule follower, or like a stay within the appropriate
lines.
Boundaries.
Yeah, yeah.
Not even necessarily a rule follower. Like every rule, I agree. Like every rule must be followed. I'm not like that, but
yeah, like mechanically, this does.
In my own paranoid way, I was always like just staying out of view of any bad thing. So you stay within the guidelines.
Alistaria stays within the guidelines.
Ooh. So, okay, this is good to know. This is her
voice. I don't know.
Where do you think she got that? Is it in spite of maybe chaotic parents, or do you think her parents were strict?
She has OCD.
Okay, sure. I like that. It would innately give her, you know, a thinky.
Yeah.
It would make sorcery be very like, what the heck?
Fuck. Yeah.
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 Okay.
And it doesn't make sense. That's why it doesn't make sense.
Okay. So, mom, dad.
Sorcerers.
Both sorcerers? Okay. So, it's a family.
It's a family of.
Lineage.
Yeah.
And we decided on draconic bloodlines?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Follow Dragon Ball Z. Yeah, because, like, you know, draconic bloodlines, they can fly, they can, you know.
Well, they get wings at, like, 14th level and stuff like that, yeah.
They also have
later level.
I was also looking at it. Hold on, let me open it up here.
We got a book in front of us. Big ol' S for sorcerer. Is that? That's a rogue sorcerer. Draconic. I love the draconic picture.
I love the artwork.
The art for the draconic, for draconic sorcerer. Draconic
sorcerer is beautiful.
Is hot and spicy.
Smash.
Wood.
Sorcerer level 7, I get... Oh, sorry. Sorcerer level 5, I get the spells Fear and Fly.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do so you still get wings?
At level 14, but...
Sick.
But with draconic spells...
You just fly in at 5th level?
Yeah.
Whoosh.
Just flying.
Woof, very woof. Cool. No, I'm one of my... I think I talked about... Maybe I talked about him. One of my first... I think when we made her, I talked about my own draconic sorcerer, gold. Oh, she's also gold, right? She's gold. Or no, silver.
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 Yeah.
Mine was gold. Very sick. Okay, so you come from a line of draconic bloodline sorcerers.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. You... What scale color do your parents have? And what kind of vibe is your parents?
Now, this is the very novice D&D player of me.
Yeah, ask questions. This is a educational podcast.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I've only been playing for a year, so.
No, you're good. Go for it. What questions do you have?
I think I remember when we were picking race.
You're going to be a Goliath.
Yeah. So I still get scale colors?
Yes, because of the bloodline of your lineage.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. And it matches well with the sort of gray. I think that's kind of one of the reasons we picked it initially. Well, you know, gray, kind of stone skin Goliath.
Yeah.
With some silver accent.
Yeah. I think my parents.
I think it's supposed to. You know, we can do whatever the heck we want, but I think it's supposed to be all silver. So your parents would also be silver.
Yeah, they have to be.
Okay, great. Yeah. So, ooh, how about this? Why the heck do you have
OCD?
No, dragon blood. And why was your family? So here's the thing: silver would indicate that you were blessed by a silver good. Aligned dragon in some way, either an ancestor or maybe your parents are.
I think
we can make your parents badass level 20 or high level sorcerers who were blessed.
How about
or otherwise? Or do you want one of your
family,
parents to be
family sorcerers? Family line of long time ago. My ancestors did something pretty cool and
classic
helping, you know.
That's literally
right.
My ancestor helped a silver dragon and was blessed.
And we were blessed, and then it was
hashtag blessed
hashtag
by a silver dragon.
We all live happily ever after.
Hilarious. Okay.
Right, and then so passed down. You know
that's how my
lineage.
Character's lineage also.
Really?
Oh, that's
well, mine
so
was a little
funny.
More specific that. Bahamut, the god of good dragons, has 10 golden hummingbirds that follow him, but they're all polymorphed ancient gold dragons that just follow him around. So you don't want to mess with Fizban,
no.
or the mortal version of Bahamut. But my character's lineage stemmed from. During like the God War,
there you go.
You'd assume those dragons were doing some stuff. So, my character's lineage saved one of those hummingbirds of Bahamut, and that hummingbird blessed.
That's awesome.
That dragon blessed the Xylosilent.
Yeah.
Lineage Xylosilent is Elvish for gold petal. I'm done. Sorry. This is your thing.
No, it's
but
okay.
Yeah, that's like for some context of your lineage.
Yeah, I have no knowledge of D&D history, so at least like, you know, story-wise.
That was my creation.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So help out a silver dragon and we got blessed.
Cool.
And
how far down are we? Four generations? Are we from a long line? Three. Okay. So three great generation. Great grandfather mm-hmm. killed or helped.
Yeah. And three?
So yes.
Yeah.
And you're a third generation?
Third generation.
Great. So your grandfather did it.
Yeah.
So, okay. Here's the thing. Both parents, one parent. It doesn't really make sense for one both parent. Of them. Yeah, well, it makes sense for one. Yeah. Okay. My dad or mom?
I make my mom the badass.
Cool. Very nice. We, women empowerment. We can also roll for it.
Okay.
That way we take all sex, you know, sexism out of it.
Yeah.
Do you, the cup?
Yeah, sure.
The cup. Did we designate anything?
No, but I rolled a 19.
Okay. Dad. Yeah, great. I was going to say odd for dad.
Yeah.
Okay, so dad was a sorcerer.
Mm-hmm.
Let's also, you know what? I want you to roll. I'm going to be the DM here. So
you are the
DM. I want you to roll the die again. And depending on just a straight d20 roll, how successful your father is. Is it
17?
Okay. Cool. So I'd say he's on par with, let's say if your grandfather, you know, was a 20.
Yeah.
In order to be blessed, you know, your father's a good runner up, you know, good. You've come from not a long line, but a short line.
And he's done well for himself.
Of good sorcerers. Okay, cool. Yeah. Where do you think you grew up? In a big city, in a small village, or a small city, or a rock?
Small city by the ocean.
Nicodran. No, that's a big city. Okay, cool. Well, thankfully in the Dragon Isles, the sea is quite close. You will probably put you on the Silver Islands.
Yeah,
seeing as how you're a silver dragon.
Makes
sense. Some fun facts about my world in the Silver Dragon Isle. It is very mountainous, and thus giants have made their home there frequently. So there's most of the giants in that sort of continental region have migrated to the Silver Isles for deep caverns for the stone, high top mountains for the cloud and the storm. Seeing as it is a bunch of islands, the storm giants have plenty of sea.
Mm-hmm.
And then fire giants can burrow where they please.
Look at that.
And then hill giants, it's like hilly mountainous.
Hilly, you know? Yeah, makes sense.
Like Scotland or something. So she's from there. So it's also there's a human city that you could be from that's very much like the city from Tangled.
Oh.
Arendelle?
Yeah.
It's like Arendelle.
I want to be in Arendelle.
So your family's from Arendelle.
Nice.
And
doing well for ourselves.
You must be decently known in.
We have to be.
Because yeah.
I'm not living up to my dad's expectations.
How old are you?
I'm 23.
Okay, sounds like maybe we needed to start work, you know, proving ourselves, and we're late to the start.
Late, very.
Not super late.
Wait,
23
wait.
If you're 27.
Invincible. Have you seen Invincible?
I've seen it, what do you, of course, love the show. What are you referring to?
When Mark gets his powers and his dad is like, are you sure?
Isn't he like 18?
He's 18, 17? But like, you know, it took him a while because his dad Omni-Man thought he would get his powers sooner, but it took him like 18 years to finally get his powers.
Right, very human of him.
Yeah, very human of him. So, just very average of me, I guess.
Oh, are we saying your powers manifested at 23? Or are we saying you are starting to, like, in my theory,
I started late.
The seemingly right now, your backstory goal is legacy.
Yeah.
So the campaign is definitely going to be that, sort of just sorceress trying to make a name for herself.
Yeah.
It's writing itself already. But Okay, so you want her powers to have manifested at 18?
And maybe at 18, and she's still hasn't gotten a feel for it yet.
We're going to make you level one. We're going to start. It's going to be a very cutesy campaign to begin with.
Yeah.
Cutesy. I mean, yeah, just like level one stuff. It's not going to be super punishing. It's more story focused.
More story focused.
I mean, it's a freaking podcast, so yeah. Very cool. Very cool. Very cool. So we'll start. I'll find my notes. I have my lore book somewhere of the name of where you're from. It's not Arendelle, but it's similar to that. You have braids like the Tangled Girl. Yes. Rapunzel.
My hair is pixie cut with the
side. Yes.
So I have a
Padawan
robe.
Braid.
Yeah, I have a Padawan braid. Nice. Hell yeah.
Love a Padawan braid. All right. So any siblings? Do you want to roll for it?
Let's roll.
Okay. If you roll a 10 or below,
mm-hmm.
you will have siblings.
Okay. Nine.
Okay. Okay. Roll again.
Okay. For how many?
And like, this is going to be how many? We're going to cap it at 5.
Yeah.
So.
Yo, my parents went.
5.
Dissolved on
it. They may have 5. And then like, if it's 6, that's 1 in like the next. So like, divide the die by 4.
Got it.
What'd you roll?
An 8. So 2?
3.
3. Okay.
3. Okay.
We'll do 3.
Do you want 2 siblings or 3 siblings?
Let's do 3.
Okay. So you're 1 of 4. Okay. So.
Hits home. I am 1 of 4. Are you? I'm last of 4.
Okay. Lastly, same roll. 1 through 5, first child.
Okay.
Or do you want. No. The last. 15 through 20 will be like first, and 1 through 5 will be last. Okay. And then
everything else
equidistant.
The
yeah.
1.
Youngest. Okay. She's turning out. Okay.
Wow.
Ooh, okay. This is
manifesting
this is
right
good.
Now.
This is good. Okay. I want you now to roll me. Do you know in your mind's eye what siblings you have? I get my first thought is like gender, but they can be non-binary or genderless. But like, how many brothers and sisters do you think you have? How many? God, I'm tripping myself up.
Let's just make it easy. I have 2 older brothers and 1 youngest sister. Or like,
you're the youngest.
I'm the youngest. So 2 boys, 2 girls, in that order.
Okay.
2 older brothers and then 2 sisters.
One older sister, two. Okay. Yeah. So oldest boy. Got it. Okay. Now we're going to roll for manifestation.
Okay.
Which means the lineage doesn't pop up every time, mm-hmm. every sibling. You don't have a bunch of sorcerer siblings. Mm-hmm. Unless we roll so. So I'm going to say 17 and up, you are obviously a sorcerer, so you might be the odd one out, which okay. will add to your character plot. But 17 and up, you have, it is manifested in one of your siblings.
Okay. 8.
Okay, so oldest brother has not yet, or has not, and they don't think he will due to the fact that he's probably like 27.
Yeah.
Cool. Second brother.
19.
Okay. The second child has manifested. Okay. So you have an older brother who has. Let's see about your sister.
6.
Okay.
Has not.
Cool.
So it's
okay. I like it.
It
skipped
it's
a year.
It skipped a year.
The second of each gender. Yeah. Wonderful. Okay. So you have an older brother who is also a sorcerer. You're, how old are you?
23.
23. If your oldest brother is 27, we'll make the one behind him 25 and your sister 24.
Okay, so they had a one after the other.
What are they called? Well, we talked about this. What is this called?
Irish twins.
Irish twins. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, your dad's got swimmers.
Yo, hell of swimmers.
Exactly, draconic swimmers. So yeah, wonderful, cool. We'll get some more information about her next time we roll this, I think.
I love this.
Wonderful. That's the. We need a last name. So next time,
yeah,
we'll introduce this family.
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
Perfect. Hell yeah.
Well, I think that's a great place to end.
Yes, I think so. Any final thoughts? Anything you want to say to our viewers?
Hey, thank you for sticking with us this long. We're like four episodes deep.
If you're four episodes deep.
Hey, thank you.
Four episode watchers, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. No, really. That means you put up with us for three episodes and you kept listening. So,
and also we're very loud. So
we're so impressed. but thank you so much.
Hmm? Any last words?
No, I think sentiment the same. Thank you.
Yeah.
We want to keep doing this, at least for our own mental health.
Amen.
So we'll keep doing it probably regardless. But if you do enjoy us, leave us a comment. Let us know.
Yeah.
Subscribe.
Subscribe. Maybe. Oh yeah, subscribe and
ring
follow.
The bell. I don't know.
Ding ding ding.
It was just trigger words. I know. Follow us on Instagram.
Yeah, I'll give that to you guys. But with that, this is another episode of the Dicey Duo with
Kyle
and with the Rain.
Adios.
Thank you guys.